I am told that my next guest is on the line. I'm really happy that Martin Sherman, founder and CEO of the Institute for Strategic Studies, is on the line to talk to me about developments regarding the Americans and the Iranian negotiations. Martin Sherman, thanks for being with us on Chai FM.
Thank you for having me back again. It's the Israel Institute for Strategic Studies.
Yeah, that's what's written here. That's frightening. You're telling me that my brain is absolutely not working to that extent that I'm not even reading what's on the page in front of me. That's a scary realization. But let's talk about what's happening.
Double times.
Let's talk about what's happening between the negotiators. When you look at the scale of sanctions relief and the cash flows that are heading Iran's way under this MOU, in your opinion, is there any other conclusion that Tehran is reading this as proof that it won the war?
Well, it's certainly not proof that America pressed home its victory. You know, it's one of these sad examples where America chose to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. And Trump's breathtaking U-turn is very difficult to explain in rational terms. You know, it split his administration as well, and those people who are more intelligence proficient, like Marco Rubio, the national security advisor, like Pete Hegseth, the defense minister, like the head of the CIA, John Ratcliffe. They all expressed, to put it lightly, great skepticism that Tehran will honor its commitments. And you know, when you have a renegade regime that can nonchalantly butcher 40,000 of its own citizens, one wonders why you think that such a renegade regime wouldn't renege on its commitments. I find Trump's behavior here sort of basically seems to have capitulated to his Qatari compliant realtors, Witkoff and
Jared Kushner.
Which
is funny.
There seems to be no other explanation.
Anyone. No, I just would have thought they would have acted as some sort of a break. I mean, these are both Jewish men. Kushner's religious Jewish men. You would have thought that their interests would have served as a break. They've got such influence in that administration. And meanwhile, you've got Trump now saying that the Iranians are good guys. He can do business with them. I think the latest comment was that Erdogan is a good guy and he can buy planes from him. Yeah, I mean, every single enemy of Israel is becoming a good guy with whom he can do business.
Yeah, he seems to have this sudden penchant for dictatorship. I can understand his disappointment and anger with Western Europe, but he seems to have completely adopted in his foreign policy dictators rather than democracies.
Martin, I don't even know where I get this.
I say this with great sorrow because, you know, I was a strong supporter of Trump.
I don't know where I get this from because I've got no reason to be saying what I'm going to say. But do you think because he likes to win, do you think perhaps he felt betrayed by Netanyahu because Netanyahu presented a plan which should have resulted in regime change and it didn't turn out that way because of the Straits of Hormuz? Do you think there's a certain anger towards Netanyahu for having put him in this position?
I think that would be very unjustified because on all fronts, whether Gaza, whether in Lebanon, and whether in Iran, Trump always stopped the war too early. In the last round against Iran, he actually turned Israeli planes back from on their way to a mission, and you know, with all his bravado, it was Israel that opened the skies to American planes. You know, he only joined in the last round at the very end when you know, it was quite safe to fly over Iran. And
yes,
I don't think that he ever. And if regime change is your is your goal. What he's done now is, you know, completely counterintuitive, because and if anyone's been betrayed, Trump betrayed the Iranian people. I mean, you know, he's had this outrageously premature call, help is on the way, and whilst they were waiting, 40,000 were slaughtered. So I don't think Trump I think it's a complete mystery, and there may be some sort of hidden motives here, whether it's I'm just speculating, whether his family's been personally threatened by Iran or something like that. I've got no idea, but it seems to make no sense, and it makes no sense, you know, even if you watch his big supporters on Fox News, you see them doing intellectual gymnastics, trying to explain why this is actually a good move. It's not a good move. And if you think it's going to work, just cast your eye over to North Korea, which has withstood economic sanctions for decades. And economic sanctions will never work against the dictatorship, because as long as the tyrant's refrigerators are stacked with the best delicacies, it doesn't really matter what happens to the to the population. So I find this is a complete mystery, and I don't know if we'll ever really find out, but I'm certainly think we're going to pay heavy consequences for it.
I heard a fascinating podcast this morning. Amit Segal of Israeli Channel 12 News was chatting to Dan Senor, and he's quite a right-wing commentator, but I find him very instructive. And he was saying the best advice that he has for Israeli political leadership at the moment is just to shut up. He says, just keep quiet. Stop talking about how Trump has let you down, how Vance has betrayed you. Just keep quiet, because in his opinion, there is no ways that the Iranians and the Americans will, after the 30 days or 60 days, whatever it is, be able to come to an agreement, because their red lines in the sand are just so completely contrary to each other's. He sees this as a failed process which cannot produce a result. So he says, stop using up your credits and destroying your credibility with the Americans. Just keep quiet and let the process fail all on its own. What's your take on a position like that?
Well, I understand his logic, and he may be right. It's just that I have this sneaky feeling that Trump can always move his red lines, you know, further and further to the pink area. It's true. I'm not sure it's a good idea to anger Trump, but at some stage you have to stand up and say no. I mean, I don't think it's a good idea now to launch a full face-to-face diplomatic battle with America, but it's, at some stage we may just have to bite the bullet. For years we've been much too dependent on America as a sole strategic ally. I remember, I think in 1999 I wrote an article in one of the Tel Aviv research institutes there, saying that we need to broaden our base of strategic support. Not, you know, it's easy to say, but
they did exactly the opposite. They did exactly the opposite. They should have listened to you, because there was bipartisan support back then. Now there's a faction of the Republicans, is what you left with. It's a very, very bad position to be in.
Not all that is Israel's fault. I mean, you know, you can think of nothing more perverse than the support of Hamas after what they did on October the 7th. Israel's response was very mild compared to what other democracies have done. If you remember, it's the equivalent compared to the size of the population of 40,000 Americans being killed in an unprovoked attack. I can imagine, you know, if you look how America responded to Afghanistan, where not 40,000, but 3,000 people were killed. They launched $1 billion the global war against terror. And even if you look at Margaret Thatcher with the Argentinian invasion into Falklands, sent a fleet diagonally across the Atlantic Ocean to rid the Argentinians, to prize loose the grip of the Argentinians there. So you know, Israel's response was very mild. It got very little credit for that. I don't know. You know, there seems to be no rational basis for what's driving international attitude towards Israel today. You know, I might have been wrong because I always thought we were overplaying anti-Semitism, but apparently we were not. You know, there's no real rational basis for the kind of animosity that Israel's facing today.
Martin Sherman, we leave it there this afternoon. Thanks for your input this afternoon. Appreciate your time.